Amen. You know, it was Solomon, as I said last Lord's Day, who said, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. And then again, he said in Ecclesiastes, a good name is better than precious ointment. So a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches and is more fragrant than precious ointment. And it does seem, as we have read in this chapter last Lord's Day, that the Apostle Paul was surrounded with individuals who professed and possessed a good name. They had a living testimony. Their lives adorned the gospel of Christ. And the Lord has preserved in this chapter, along with Colossians chapter 4, a little thumbnail, a little photograph album of Paul's friends in the work of God, those who labored with him, those who were fellow soldiers, fellow prisoners, those who were helpers, those who were workers, those who were laborers in the work, those who, Paul says, suffered alongside me, endured hardship, were imprisoned, were beaten, all for the Lord's sake, who jeopardized their lives, and they were helpers to many, and Paul says, and especially of me. He seemed to be surrounded with good people. Does that not say to us that Paul the Apostle, he knew to keep good company? He wasn't found with rascals. He wasn't found with a worldling. He wasn't found with the ungodly, except he was preaching the gospel to them, or if he was working alongside them in business, he was always using it as an opportunity for witness. And it is true, the names of great people will inspire us. That's true. We've heard many, a sports person, and they've said of an individual, I followed them as a young person. They inspired me to reach the heights that I have reached in my various sporting achievements. So the names of great people will inspire us, but the names are interest us, but the names of good people will inspire us. It's true. The names of great people will interest you, but the names of good people will inspire you. Such were the names of those mentioned in Romans 16. There are other individuals Paul mentions in various places, and even John mentions as well, and they do not have a good name. They have a name to be troublemakers in the church. They have a name to individuals who cause disunity in the church. There are those whom even Paul himself said that when he meets them, he won't be behind the door, and John said the same, and putting them in their place, because they were troublemakers in the church, and they have hindered me, and they've destroyed the work of God, and they've overthrown the faith of many. And Paul says, when I meet those people, I will not hold back. That's what he said. Righteous anger. And I will confront them face to face whenever I meet them. But Paul here mentioned those who have a good name. They were persons not only with a good name, but any study of their name and character will be of great benefit to us. Now, I can't study them all, as I said, but we've been looking at Phoebe. And we have thought, first of all, of her commendation. Paul says in verse 1 and 2 there, I commend unto you Phoebe. Here's how he says it. Our sister. Our sister. She is a beloved child of God, that ye receive her in the Lord, just as Christ received you in faith and didn't cast you away, didn't question you, and didn't ostracize you, or didn't put you at the back and then moved you forward. Christ received you as you were. So you receive Phoebe in the Lord, as becometh saints. That is, saints ought to be like that. And then he says that ye assist her. You help her. Don't be a hindrance. Don't be a barrier, but a blessing. In whatsoever business she hath need of you. And so we see her commendation. And we notice that she was a born-again believer, a beloved sister in Christ. We also noted that she was a member of the local church, how important it is to be in fellowship and membership of the local church, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea. And then we noticed as well that the church was to be a welcoming body of individuals. Receive her and assist her in all that she has need of. And so we considered last Lord's Day her commendation. I want to think today of her consecration and then of her compassion. Her consecration. You notice what it says here in verse 1 and 2. It says, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant And then if you notice there in verse 2, she has been a succorer of many and of myself also. She is a sister, she is a servant, and she's a succorer. That means a comforter or a helper, someone who comes alongside. In other words, she's an encourager rather than a discourager. She's a help rather than a hindrance. She is a blessing rather than a barrier. She is someone who will comfort you rather than curse you. And we see her consecration. The word servant is an interesting word, and it's describing this woman of God. She is a servant of the church at Cenchrea. That's an amazing statement, because the word servant is really a bondslave. That's what it is. Who wants to be a bondslave for the Lord? Who wants to be the minister, the moderator? Who wants to be the preacher and the teacher? Who wants to be the youth leader? But who wants to be the bondslave? Who wants to be a servant of all? Who wants to work in the background, in obscurity, get little praise or recognition for their work, and most people don't even see it, what they're doing, and they feel underappreciated? Well, here's a lady, and she's described as a servant. Now, I do not agree. Now, listen to me. This is important, especially our young people. And when you take up the study of God's Word, and you go to modern translations of the Bible, and whenever you go to commentaries by liberals, that's all they are, liberal theologians, you will find that the majority of the commentaries online will call Phoebe a deaconess. The word servant. It is true that we get our word deacon or committee man from this Greek word servant. It is true. I don't disagree with that. Diakonos. We fully agree. It means teacher, deacon, or servant. Can mean either. It has to be in its context. And I have read commentaries about this verse, and I mean modern day evangelical preachers, and they're pushing that this word is the word deacon. And they're saying that Phoebe was a deacon in the church. She was a committee person. We call it the committee here. It's what is known as the diaconate. It's set up in Acts chapter 6. For the material looking after the church. That's the function of the committee, and it was given there to assist the apostles. It was a new office that was brought in under the government of Christ and his church to assist in the material, so the minister and the apostles and those who are teachers could give themselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word without having to come to the church to put the heating on, and to come to the church to open and close, and to come to the church and drive the bus, and come to the church and do this, that, and the other, and cut the grass and power hose the car park, etc., etc., and paint the windows and all this. It was done all so that the committee would come in and they would take up the material and the temporal work in the church, and the elder would be given to the oversight spiritually of the church. And most commentaries and most commentators will take this word servant, and they will say that she was, and they even go further. There's commentaries and preachers who today, in this day and age, will run with the line of diversity and equality and all these things that are being pushed. And I want to say this to you, that this word in this context does not mean deacon. And listen, it is contrary to Scripture, contrary to the requirements scripturally for the office of elder and deacon, that any female can take that office. The requirements exclude the female. But I tell you, in the modern church, that's not popular and palatable, and those who are liberal theologians, and yet they're the ones that's writing the book that you'll find in evangelical bookshops. You'll find the commentaries are being sold, and these people are pushing this agenda, and it's contrary to Scripture. If you read the requirements in Timothy and Titus and elsewhere concerning the deacon and concerning the elder, it's an impossibility, and it's forbidden by Scripture that the woman can take that office. But I'll tell you this, that does not mean that she has no place in the work of God. I want to tell you, our ladies, I said this, where would we be without the women folk? This word is servant. It means literally to serve in the church, but not in the office. Not in the office. That's why we say in this day, amongst evangelical believers and churches, where are the men? Because they have to take the lead. They have to give leadership. And they have to step up to the mark. And therefore we say this, that they have the ones that need to be an example. They need to be at the prayer meeting. They need to be at the services. They need to be helping out with the work of God. And if you're not involved to that extent, then listen to me. You're not fulfilling your God-given role. You're not. And eventually, Scripture will be set aside as it has been done. And the ladies will take the office of deacon and the office of elder and the office of minister. It's already happening in the modern church because the men failed in giving the leadership and the guidance and stepping up to the plate. But we say this, we could not do without our ladies. The church could not do without our women folk. And Paul was surrounded by good people. And it's very interesting in this chapter. He mentions an awful lot of ladies who were a great help to him. And her consecration was this, that she was a servant of the church. She was a succorer, a helper in the church. And here we see a believer working under authority. She knows her place in the church. And she submits to authority. And she works for the Lord. You see, Christ's government today is this. And notice what it said of her, that she was a servant of the church at Cenchrea. She was under the authority of the local church. What we have today, and I have contended with this over 20-odd years of ministry. I have contended with individuals, and I mean this. And we have argued and fought about the authority of Christ's church. And we have many. It was said of David wrongly, by a man whose name means fool, Nabal. And he says, many there be who break away from their master in these days. And who's David? He broke away from Saul, his master. But Nabal was a fool and he got it wrong. God rejected Saul and chose David. But we have many today and they don't work under authority. You know the street preachers? I've met some of them. I've talked to them. I've engaged with them in conversation about things they're saying, things they're doing. And they're jeopardizing street preaching for us all at times. But I'll tell you this. I asked them the question, what church do you go to? One man said to me, and when I said it, he nearly choked. And he says, I don't go anywhere. I said, so you're preaching in the open air, saying whatever you like, and you're not under authority. And no one is overlooking and overseeing what you're doing and saying, except the world and the paper and the news. I says, where do you worship then? I don't worship anywhere. I says, nowhere. Well, now and again, I meet with some friends in their houses, but I generally don't worship anywhere. And I says, so you're not under the authority of the local church? No. No, I don't believe in it. Well, Christ has set it up. It's his governance in the church. Christ has set up proper governance in the church. I believe, that's why I am Presbyterian. I am Presbyterian by conviction. I believe that the proper governance of any church is a Presbyterian form of government. Elders and deacons. I'm convinced of that. It's the only way Scripture lays out for proper governance in the church. But I will say this, if you think of it in the ordinary run of life, and again, we're in a modern world, in a liberal society, and they've done away with these things. You have, and if you want to look at it like this, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 3, he said that Christ is the head of man, and the head of a woman is the man. That is contentious today, but not in Phoebe's mind. She submitted to the authority in the church. And that's why I say to you, you have Christ as in his role and function as mediator and redeemer. And he submits to the Father. The head of Christ is God. That's what it means. And our Muslim friends who take that verse and they argue with Christians. And they say, how could Jesus Christ be God if he submits to God? Is he not equal with God? But they fail to understand that in the role of mediator, In the role of Redeemer, Christ became a man, made a little lower than the angels, and he became obedient to the Father's will. And that's what it said about the headship of Christ, that God is the head of Christ, and Christ is the head of the church, and Christ is the head of man, and woman, man is the head of woman. And that's why a lady covers her head, because she covers the glory of man, so it's not seen in the church. And the man, being the glory of God, doesn't cover his head, so the only glory seen in worship is the glory of God. That's the headship Paul spoke about in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. But I will say this to you, Phoebe submitted to the government of Christ and his church. There are many today, and they're freelancers. There are many today, and they're setting up their own work and their own ministry, and they're saying this is of God, and they're getting support from churches, and they're draining the finance of the Christian church, who cannot any longer pay their pastor or their minister, because all the money's being directed to those who are renegades, who will not submit to the authority of Christ, who will say to the church, you will not tell me what to do. I have my work, and I will do it. It's my work. We've heard them. We've argued with them over years. And they are freelancers. And they're under no authority. I said to one man in particular, I says, tell me this. How is your work governed? What do you mean? How is it governed? What way scripturally is it governed? Tell me, how is your work governed? How are you looked after? Who looks after you? And he says, I have a board. I says, you have a board. How often do they meet? He smiled. Never. How often do you consult with your board? Never. So you have a board on paper so that you can register with a charity commission, get charitable status, but you run the show yourself. And you're under no authority. None whatsoever. And you reject the authority of Christ's governance in the church. Friends, be careful. Now listen to me. Be careful what you support. I'm not telling you what to do, but I'm saying exercise discretion and wisdom. Bring everything to the Word of God. And I believe that people who work for the Lord should always work under the local church, under the authority of the local church. The mission field, the home front, the people in this church work under authority. They don't work for themselves. They don't work outside the church. Now, I'm not saying that there are times in church history that that hasn't happened when church governance has failed. That's a different matter. That's out of context. But in the context, Christ has his church, the local church and the larger church. And he governs his church through elders and deacons and membership of that church and service in that local church. And then, like Phoebe, she was sent to Rome, to the larger church, to minister. But she was a servant of the church at Cenchrea. She was sent by the Apostle Paul, and she was sent with the blessing of the local church. It says that. She's our sister. We recommend her. She's in fellowship with the local church. She's under authority. And we send her now on a mission with the greatest letter that was ever written in history, the letter to the believers at Rome. You see, my friend, I make that point because Scripture makes it. I'll move on, for I don't want to labour it. But we can say of Phoebe that she was faithful, dedicated, and a hard-working servant of Christ. And she did all she could for the Lord, whether it was in the local church or the larger church. Nothing was impossible. She was dedicated. She was a servant of the church, which really means she was a servant to the headship of Christ. As she submitted to the local church and Christ's governance in the church, she submitted to the authority of Christ in the church. That's exactly what the word servant means here. It's not deacon. It's not elder. It's in its context. If it was said, perhaps, of maybe Paul, we would say, yes, Paul was an elder. There's no doubt about that, as well as an apostle. And he was a preacher and a teacher. And he was a leading elder. That is, he taught the word of God. There's a ruling elder. And there's a teaching elder. And Paul was a teaching elder, as well as he had the office of apostle, which doesn't exist today, by the way, even though there are people running about saying, I'm an apostle, and others who are saying, I'm a prophet. So it's a challenge for us all to work in the local church and to be busy for the Lord. Her consecration to Christ was evident because she was entrusted with carrying Paul's letter to the church at Rome. Most commentators believe that that Phoebe was the one who carried Paul's written letter. He wrote the letter in Cenchrea. We believe that he was there living. He maybe started that work in Cenchrea. He worshipped there. He preached there. He was some 18 months in Corinth, laboring as their pastor. He was their minister at the church at Corinth. Who was the first minister of pastor of the church at Corinth? Paul. Paul also, I believe, preached as well, along with others, at Cenchrea. It's a bit like Cumber opening up another church, say, down the road a bit, maybe 5 miles down the road away from another church, and we opened an extension work. We did that in Lisburn and Ockalee, 11 miles from our church. And I was minister both of Lisburn and Ockalee for some 6 full years, maybe 10. For some 10 years of both churches. Paul did similar. That was the work he was involved in. And we do believe that, but he wrote the letter to believers at Rome. And I want to tell you something. Such was her integrity and her consecration and faithfulness to the Lord that she was tasked by the Lord to carry one of the most important documents and letters in all of history, and certainly our Bible. You see, she was faithful over little, and God placed her over much. She served as a servant in the local church and did what she could with what she had. And then the Lord lifted her, and the Lord exalted her. It's better for the Lord to promote than to promote yourself or to look for promotion by various means. I say this to you. Let the Lord promote you. Let the Lord see what you're doing now, even though others don't. And remember this, your Father which seeth in secret shall reward you openly. It may not be this side of eternity, but certainly in eternity at the judgment seat, the Lord will reward you openly before all. And therefore, that's what the Lord did with Phoebe. The epistle to the Romans contains some of the greatest truths in the entire Bible, such as the universal sin and the guilt of all mankind. Paul proves without a shadow of a doubt in the letter and the epistle to the Roman believers the universal guilt and sin of all mankind. He also extensively writes, it's his largest letter or epistle, it's the largest one he has written, and he extensively writes on the doctrine of justification by faith alone. And Phoebe was the one that carried that letter. And remember, Martin Luther, perhaps the individual who's said that he has been the very instigator of the Protestant Reformation, Martin Luther came to saving faith in Christ through the letter Phoebe carried to believers at Rome when he read, "The just shall live by faith." The just shall live. Not by punishing yourself, Martin. Not by putting yourself through penance and confession and running up steps there at Rome. It was at Rome where Martin Luther came under conviction and realized as he's running up those steps and beating himself senseless to find favor with God that the just shall live by faith. And Paul sent this document with Phoebe because she was consecrated to the Lord. And not only that, the eternal security of the believer is in the book of Romans. Who shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord? Paul says, I am persuaded that neither life nor death, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor principalities, nor angels, nor devils or demons, neither anything in heaven or earth or sea or sky or hell beneath, if you look into the context, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, the eternal security of the believer. And furthermore, our responsibilities legally to the ordained authorities in the book of Romans, and the future of Israel, God's ancient people, written up in prophetic terms in the book of Romans, and many more great themes beside. Not only this, Phoebe was willing to travel from Cenchrea to Rome. It's a massive distance. And she traveled, tucked under her arm a scroll that contained the most important document in history, and she was trusted. I don't think the church today would trust an individual to even carry a letter to some member in the church. They would have to be accompanied by elders or the minister to present a letter to a member. that have to be accompanied. Such an important document as the Epistle to the Romans, yet Phoebe carried it. Such was her consecration to God that the Lord honoured that faithful servant working in obscurity in the local church, a servant, a bond slave to Jesus Christ, working away in the local church, and then the Lord opened the door and the Lord sent her to serve the larger church. But she still remained under the authority of the local church. Phoebe's an inspiration to us all. May we be willing to do all that Christ asks of us, that we might receive, like she did, the well done of God. Then finally, think of her compassion. We thought of her commendation. We thought of her consecration, a servant and a sister. Now think of her compassion. She's a succorer of many, verse 2. And of myself also. Most believe that Phoebe was a businesswoman, just like Lydia was in Acts 16. In other words, they believe that she was a woman of means. She was a very wealthy lady. She may have been a widower. There's no mention of her husband accompanying her. It seems that she run the business. Her husband may have died. We don't know whether he was an unbeliever and left her because she became a believer. There's no mention of her husband. And she runs the business herself, and God has blessed her in her business. And she's become a very wealthy person, and she has used her means to the end of serving the Lord. She has been a succorer of many, and Paul says, of me also. I near feel Paul saying, and especially of me, I can't tell you what she has done for me, and the help she has been to me, and the finance she has thrown my way so that I can go out. And by the way, Paul was on his third missionary journey whenever he formed, I believe, the church at Corinth and Cenchrea. And on that third missionary journey, so there were three missionary journeys, perhaps in Phoebe in many ways, helped Paul from that third missionary journey on. He struggled financially. He struggled for help, for encouragement, for people to support and to pray for him. And then he preached. Phoebe got saved. She came to know Christ as her Savior. And she's a Gentile. And she's brought into the Commonwealth of Israel. And she becomes a succorer of many. The word in the Greek means a help. So whatever you can do, whatever you can do. Now it'd be nice. I was introduced recently to someone. I was standing in company, and this man and another man came along. And this man introduced me to this other man. And he did so. I'm not going to tell you how. You'll say, that fella's got a big head. He introduced me in such a way that I felt completely humbled. I couldn't believe, I nearly cried, the way he introduced me to a person I've never known. And I thought to myself, well, that's the way I would want to be introduced to everybody. And that's how Paul introduces Phoebe to you. Phoebe, don't go near her. She's a troublemaker. Phoebe, she's a gossip, I'm telling you. She rips people apart, and she's a vicious tongue. She's an evil heart, and she has a perverted mind, and she sees all the bad in people. Phoebe, avoid her like the plague. Let that be said of you, child of God. How would Paul or anyone introduce you to a stranger? These people in Rome did not know Phoebe, but I tell you, on the recommendation of Paul and what he said in two verses, they knew who she was. What a tremendous recommendation. But here's her compassion. It's evident that she used her great wealth and her gifts and talents to be a help to the work of God. She wasn't tight-fisted, a very generous and kind lady, a servant of Christ, and she used everything she had for the glory of God. She used her wealth to relieve the poor. She supported the work of the church and missionaries who labored with great hardship, the Apostle Paul. And there's no doubt if she's helped Paul, she's helped the rest. She was kind, she was considerate in all the need, and she was an encourager. The word means succorer. It's really the word like paraclete, to come alongside, to put your arm around. That she is the female Barnabas. She is literally a sister to Barnabas in that sense spiritually. Paul himself was a beneficiary of Phoebe's big and generous heart. She was a great encouragement to the servants of God and an inspiration to us all. I tell you this, our ladies and our women folk, they play a massive part in the work of the Lord. And I say this again to you, we appreciate your labor of love. No matter what you're doing for the Lord in this house, no matter, I tell you, we appreciate it. And there's some people who can't get out to the meetings because they're looking after children. And they're looking after little ones, and they would like to get out to meetings, and maybe they even feel backslidden. That's how my wife felt for years. When before we were married, or sorry, after we were married, I better get that right, we had no children. So after, and for 6 years, we were out at every meeting, never missed a meeting. We had no car, we walked for miles to meetings. Fact, my wife's here to verify that. We even refused lifts, we walked carrying our Bibles. When the children arrived, June could not get out to God's house. No prayer meetings, no youth fellowship, no children's work, no Sunday school work. But she became a helper to the church in raising her children, sending them out to Sunday school, sending them out to children's meetings, praying at home for the workers. And she became a Phoebe at home. So don't you be discouraged. That's where God has placed you, in the home. And I tell you, if you can't work in the church, he's put you in the home. Work there with your grandchildren as well. And work through them. And work with them. Because that could be your life's work. And work well. And I say this to you, Phoebe, as we close. She was what is known as that arm around your shoulder. Rather than that hand that shoves you away and say, no further. She's that word in season in your ear, than those words behind your back that cut you to pieces, that hurt you, and that you'll never fully recover from if you heard what people said about you. And if I heard what people said about me, I most likely would resign from ministry. That's a fact. She's that smile that'll bless you and encourage your soul, rather than the frown that'll cast you down and think she's better than you. She's the Lord's provision when there's a need. She's the Lord's token for good just when the church needs someone like that. Brethren and sisters, as I close, I do exactly what the Apostle Paul did, and I do it to you now. I commend Phoebe, our sister, to you. Her pagan name, as I close, her pagan name means bright and radiant. Actually, it was to do with a false god that her family worshipped. And they called the child after the false god. Phoebe, bright and radiant. And then spiritually, when she got saved, she lived up to her name, not only Christian, but she was bright and she was a radiant believer. And I say to you, child of God, brighten the corner where you are. I commend Phoebe to you. Father, we thank thee for thy word today, for this choice servant, a sister beloved, a servant of the church, and a succorer of many. We thank thee for her commendation in Scripture. We thank thee for her consecration to the Lord and to the church. We thank thee for her compassion, a modern day Barnabas that would encourage us if she was present. And we pray, O God, that you'll bless the word to our hearts. Speak to us today. And grant, Lord, as we have considered thy servant, just as you said to Satan, has thou considered my servant Job? So you said to us, have you considered my servant Phoebe? Yes, we have, Lord. There's none like her. That's right, Lord. And Lord, we would pray that we would follow her as she has followed the Master. May she be an inspiration to us all. And may we follow thee as she did and be, Lord, not only a sister beloved and a servant and a bond slave, but also a succorer, comforter of many. So bless the word to our hearts today. As we leave, go with us and go before us. We offer prayer in Jesus' precious and worthy name. And the people of God said,